Hey guys, and welcome back. So today, we're starting something brand new. And this is a new series which is called The Reemergence of the Divine Feminine. So this is going to be basically a sister program to the Gathering of Momentum. And this is going to be for supporting the sisters, but also supporting the men as well in supporting the females in this world. As we know, the females play the most important role here on Earth. And men have been trying for the last how many thousands of years to create something on this world and to control this world. And let's be honest, it hasn't really been working. So it's about time that the divine feminine aspect of women step into their power, and also men give the space and hand the reins over so this can happen. Because we are living in a world at the moment that's starved for love, where we're living in a world which is starved for connection and communication. And the issue between the male and the female aspects is that men have like 10 times less communication skills than women. So just starting on a physical level of our actual physical body and our genetic makeup, men don't have the communication skills. And there's a whole bunch of sequences that go down in the brain, and obviously the physical body, we can't house a child either. We're actually just the hunter-gatherers, but we've taken it upon ourselves to disempower women. We've used religions, we've used cultural indoctrination and all types of other facets to disempower women in a way where we have control over them. And when I say we, I say always, all people on this earth, not just, say, countries like Saudi Arabia and places like that. But this is happening in Western worlds, in families, in relationships, and to small little things that's going on that we're not actually aware of. And this is what we need to be accountable for, and this is what we need to tap into and realize what we're doing and why and how it's happening. And this stems all the way to internet dating, to relationships, to when we go out for dinner, for pay rates, what women are being paid, how we treat them in the workplace, how they're allowed to dress, how we treat them, how we talk about them. So this is actually a series, and this is like series one, episode one, and this will go on to interview many more empowered women. And also we're going to have like a round table discussion with three or four women together, and we're going to talk, and we're going to like, what's coming up? What are you guys feeling? What's happening? What's going on for you in your life? So then younger women can watch this, and older women and men can come on board and feel empowered, and also feel a sense of relief that, shit, we do that and I didn't even realize. But also it's okay what's happened. But now we have to change it. What's happened has happened, and now it's about moving on into this new generation of unity consciousness. So today I have Kira Kirsten on, and she's a longtime friend of mine.
Kira Kirsten.
Sorry, Kira Kirsten.
You're so bad.
Sorry. Kira Kirsten, and she's a longtime friend of mine, and a mentor and a person I really look up to. She holds me accountable and really talks to me on a deep level. And there's not that many people out there who kind of hit me on a deep level and really connect, where I'm like, yes. She does amazing posts. She's an intuitive life coach, healer. She does many different facets, and her words are her magic. You know, what she puts out on the internet and what she does on a daily basis with people, she's out there attacking the system. She's out there unraveling the scenarios in life. She's talking to people. She's connecting and shifting and changing people each day. So it's a blessing to have you on, Kira, and thank you so much for what you do on the world. And I know that you've got a lot of content on this, and I'm sure we're going to have to do a few talks to really even scratch below the surface, because this is big. Like, I'm going to be learning a lot through this. I'm nowhere near where I need to be, and I need you, empowered women, to help me to be a better person myself. So thank you and welcome.
Mate, I just wanted to say thank you for being who you are. You're such an incredible soul and such a gift to humanity at this time. And I mean, it's we're standing at this edge of extremes at the moment, where we are facing so many different issues. And I think the core of it goes back to what you're saying. And we need men who are awake. And the truth is, and we all know it, there's not very many of them. There's not very many men right now who are stepping up and stepping out and saying, you know what, I'm not quite sure of the answers. And you're one of the people I know who is most sure of the answers. And very humbled, as you know, by your work. And I think the hardest thing right now is there's no guidebook for any of us. We're walking a path that it changes and turns quite frequently, and yet the core message is really that we need to go back into our hearts. We've lost something, and we can all feel it. You can feel it. I can feel it. There's no one around us who can't feel what's going on right now. And, you know, we're looking at massive rates of mental illness and people just not feeling satisfied in life and people not quite sure where to go. And some people would say this has always been the human condition, but I feel that that's not the truth at all. I feel like we have been led to this point because what we're requiring right now is an awakening and a step back into balance. And, you know, my biggest thing is always softness and strength, and strength and softness. It's about the humility and stepping into our own power. And one of the biggest things you said at the start of this conversation was that women need to step back into their own power. And yet you also said that women have stepped down from that or been oppressed or asked to step down from that. And you would look at the world and you would look at all of the things that are happening right now and you would think, why have half of the population, your sisters, your mothers, your daughters, your friends, why have these women had to step down and why are they not speaking up and why are they not living their truth? And I guess the bottom line here is there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of suppression. And we all know that right now we're living in a man's world and we have been for a long time. Without, you know, there's no part of me that has a dislike of the masculine. I respect the masculine on a level, as you know. You know, there's a lot of things inside of me that I wish the masculine would also step up in this time. And yet what's happening right now is that the masculine has taken a sidestep into a place that has led us to where we are right now.
Yes. Yeah, the masculine doesn't know how to step up. That's what I'm finding. They actually don't know what to do. There's no role models out there. There's no mentors. The kids are growing up in schools with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. We have the country towns and the farming towns, which I was just at on this Cape York trip up north, who the men are so masculine and the women are so masculine that to even talk those topics, people are being, they're being triggered by it.
And you said it, the men are so masculine and the women are so masculine. And and this is what it's coming down to. We've all been forced to step into this masculine role. And I said it for a long time. I said, I don't, you know, in this world, we're required to be manly to survive. And it's like, I don't want to be a man. I like being feminine. I enjoy that. I don't want to live in a world where it's men being men and women being masculine. Yeah. And this is just a little disclaimer here. This is absolutely no disrespect to any of my trans friends or gay friends or all of my friends who embrace very different lifestyles and different gender roles. But this is a very base level of, I do believe in a way that men should be allowed to be men and women should be allowed to be women, or that we should all be embracing our masculine and feminine. I know that I'm able to embrace my masculine for the most part. I'm not great at it. It's never been my calling. But what you just said then is that what we're seeing around us is so many people stepping into the masculine and it's left this massive void or a gap. It's left this gap and it's the feminine and we need that right now. Like we're actually needing that love and we're needing that care. We're needing that mothering. We're needing that nurturing and we're looking for it, like so many people are looking for it and we're not finding it because it's been pushed away. It's been actually removed from our society. And I guess my question is why? Why would we do this?
Is it part of the agenda? This is the question. This kind of all leads into a much bigger looming agenda. And what you said earlier about, we were just talking about how the country towns, like from my personal experience just recently, I went to a place and it was called St. George, and it's like 10-15 hours away in the middle of nowhere, just farming town. And we went down to the pub on the last night there just to pop in, you know, and there's apparently a fishing tournament on the next weekend, and so there's a lot of people there. So there's about 70 people at the town pub, which is a lot. And there was, like, I really kind of enjoy people watching and sitting back, and like, I really see people. I see all the issues. I see the insecurities. I see what's going on. I see everything. My attention to detail is so fine that it can be frustrating at times, but also it's highly, like I'm
honed in.
Yeah. And so we're at this table and there was girls there, and this woman walks past and she looked at me and she goes like, and she does this nod, and I was like, okay. I was like, cool. I was like, I don't know what this means. I'm not from around here. And apparently it means it's on. Like, I'm keen. Like, this big nod, and then supposed to follow up. And they ended up coming over to the table and we were talking. And the conversation was basically, they were looking at me and they grabbed my friend's chest, and we're just like kind of, you know, lean looking normal dudes, big massive macho, you know, hairy guys. And she was kind of like, you don't look like a pig hunter. And I'm like, I'm not, I'm so far from a pig hunter. She's, how are you going to wrestle pigs to the ground with a chest like that? And I was like, my mind was trying to computer on what was going on. It was like, hang on a second. And then I was like, okay, so in this town, for you to be
a man
or looked after or interested in, you need to be a pig hunter. You need to be able to wrestle pigs to the ground and cut throats and all that. And this is a town far out, right? But it was like, wow. And all I felt the whole night was, I felt loneliness. I felt complete loneliness, disconnection the whole night. Not my loneliness, the loneliness in the town. And then the conversation between guys. Yeah, they'd hooked up before and they were openly talking about this sexual experience, which was completely not love. It was completely... And I was like, wow, okay, so the cities are bad. The country towns are even worse. I go, we need to start with our family, with our friends, with our local area. And this needs to spread really quickly, because there's a lot of suicides out in farming towns, a lot of loneliness, a lot of people who feel lost. And then this was really tapping me. And when I got home, I was like, far out, man. Like, how could you find that divine partner there? How are you going to break
through the barriers? You won't find it. And I think... I grew up in big places and small places, and what I found a lot of is that people are confused right now because our gender roles have been reassigned, and I don't think anyone's really sure what they're doing anymore. You know, it used to be like, she stays at home, he goes to work, he makes the money, you know, she has the babies, he looks after her. And it was a really simple equation. Whether you liked it or not, whatever was going on in the relationship, you stayed, you got married, it's what you did, you know. And there was beautiful loyalty and dedication in that that, you know, absolutely needed to change because of a lot of factors. But I feel like what's happening now is no one actually really knows what's going on anymore. Like, no one's sure. Everyone's looking around and they're like, am I doing this? And we live in this incredibly open and broad-minded society where you can be trans, you can be poly, you can, you know, you can do all of these things, and yet I'm not seeing a lot of genuine happiness. I'm not seeing people saying, hey, I'm loving my life. I'm seeing people who are serial dating. I'm seeing people who just can't find the one. I'm seeing people in unhappy marriages, and I'm like, what are we doing here? We've taken a really wrong turn, and yet people are still having families. We're still functioning in a society that expects that people are couples, and yet it's not working. It's not working for many of us. And I guess it's this massive redefining of who is who and what is what, because we're not in the hunter-gatherer, wifey stays at home all the time thing anymore. That can work for lots of people. I'm not saying one person should do this or should do that, but what I'm saying is that the redefining is so necessary. And I think the baseline to that comes from a mutual respect, which is really lacking in our society. And it's that mutual respect of saying, you know what, guys are really important, respect them, and women are really important, respect that too. And just looking and thinking, like, we're all important here. Yeah. We're all giving something, and it's not the same, and it's unique, and we're all giving on these different levels, and that's okay. We don't have to subscribe to this view. We don't have to confine ourselves to this idea. We don't have to be monogamous. We don't have to be poly. We don't have to be in a relationship. We don't have to have a family. But we can do all of those things. And if we're going to do them, how are we going to do them better? How are we going to do them well? And how are we going to do them in a way that is from our heart?
Yes.
How are we doing this on a level that actually works for us all and connects us? Because that's the core problem right now. We're separated. We're living in fear. We're scared of getting hurt. We're scared of people getting too close.
Yes.
We're living in this world that it seems like we have all of these beautiful options, and yet not many are working for many of us. And that makes me sad, because I hear about it daily. I hear about it on so many levels. And I mean, I hear the good stories. I understand the successes, but overall I'm like,
it's pretty difficult.
We need to recalibrate and work out something that works for all of us.
I mean, the success rate for me, I know about five couples on one hand, which I consider being
happy.
Being happy. And then out of those five, there's probably three who are really, really in love with each other, but the other ones are really good with their kids. So maybe seven all up in my whole life. And I know for people out there, I'm networking, doing seminars, doing talks, traveling.
We talk to everyone. Who don't we talk to?
Everyone. Everyone. And that's crazy. And these people are so far advanced. They are actually so far beyond the normal people. I almost feel like these people need to be like doing talks and bringing people together and going, hey, this is how we do it. And one of my friends, they live in a bus. They met me up at Byron Bay in my bus. Then a couple of weeks later, they're like, we're moving out of a house. We're buying a bus. And they got two kids in a bus and a dog. And they are the most amazing couple. Whenever I go there, it excites me to find that divine feminine. And it excites me to have kids. Like, there's not many people. And like you yourself, Kira, one person actually makes me think kids would be pretty good. Most people, I'm around their kids, I'm like, I don't want kids ever. Not in this lifetime. Yeah. So, I mean, for the amount of people that I know, which we're talking tens of thousands of people probably globally,
yeah.
It's actually very small. And me being a dude who is in a conscious movement and like I'm generally hold people accountable, you know, I find that I just scare people off because they're not willing to go there. They're not willing to talk openly. If you are too interested and not interested, if you're into someone and you openly talk about it, people are just like, well, oh, too much is too much. Yes.
What people don't like right now is love. People don't like love anymore.
They're allergic to it.
People don't like love, and people don't like connection. They're like, oh, you know, you can tell someone, I just had like 800,000 Tinder dates, which, you know, for the record, I don't do Tinder.
Never.
But I hear this all the time.
Never had it once.
It's like, you know, people can say I've had all of these Tinder dates and none of them worked out. And you know what everyone's going to say? Great. Same here.
Yeah.
But if you say to someone like, I have feelings or I like someone or any of these things, people get uncomfortable. They're like, that's not for me. Oh, they're like, don't get hurt. Don't go there. Be careful. Be careful. And it's like, why? So we've lost this whole loving culture.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost it because maybe we need to refine it.
It's so weird. Like, it's such a strange dating scenario here in the Western world because like I know the type of girls that I'm interested in, what I'm attracted to and what I need in a person, a personality. But the way we are set up here is that whether people want to admit it or not, guys and girls, they're looking for material possessions. They're looking for external.
Sex.
They're looking for security, car. These things are all definitely there, whether they want to admit or not. Okay. Someone who's doing something outside of the normal, that's too scary. And it's like, oh, it's uncomfortable. And I know if I were to go get another Harley Davidson this week, okay, go get a race boat again, do these things, I'll be attracting all
girls.
These girls, but not the right type. Exactly.
And,
not the right
and
type.
This is what it comes back to. This is where we're stuck right now.
Yep.
The masculine says the more you have, the more you're worth. And females should be attracted to that. The feminine says it should go in connection.
Yes.
And this is where our world is currently, like, totally, like, it's falling apart.
Mm.
It's falling apart because we're basing our worlds on things that are material. And we need material comfort. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, we need a home. We need to pay our bills. Like, these things are important.
Yes.
It's not like we don't need these things. And some of us appreciate design. We like nice things. That's okay too.
Totally. I like nice, shiny things.
We all do. Every single one of us. But this comes back to the core question of how we're being run and controlled right now, which is by a materialistic society based on consumerism that is saying, you need this. You need that. You need to have this. You need to have that. It's not about what we need. It's about what we want. And it's about this world that it's totally unfair. I mean, in the way that it's given, it's not like you work hard and you get that. I know people who work so hard, they've got nothing.
Yes.
I know people who work heart and soul, nothing. I know people who barely work and they've got everything. Mm. I know people who have never worked a day in their life and they have everything.
Yeah.
So it's got nothing to do with hard work or anything else. It's got a lot to do with luck and karmic patterns, I think, in this time.
And if you can be a tycoon out there and just get shit done.
Tycoon, hustler, where your ethics are at, where your values are at.
That's right.
How shamelessly you can self-promote,
and
how much you believe in your work in the world. And it's really, it's a difficult thing for a lot of us spiritual people, because we understand this world, and if we didn't understand it, we wouldn't be doing what we do now, because it's a step above that. It's a lot to do with the fact we understand how to do that, but it's not congruent necessarily with the life ethically lived.
Mm.
And this is where the issues come in. You know, we're looking at a world that's based on these gender roles of he does this and she does that, and she should be attracted because he has that much money. Now, okay, so we're living in this world that it seems to be a thing of how much materialistic stuff you have will depend what you attract into your life. And
possessions.
This can work on like many levels in the old world, because I guess the old world was about providing security and about providing safety for our women and providing some sort of material life that she couldn't provide for herself. Because in the old world and how we've been taught, women weren't to go to work, they weren't to go out into the world, we weren't to do these things. And then suddenly all of these movements happen, and it's like women are supposed to be having babies, they're supposed to be working and studying, and they're overloaded basically, they're doing so much. And yet the whole game has changed, but we're still going on these traditional values. Men haven't stepped into the home and family, which to me is a much higher value than the work in the world. As a woman who has worked, as a woman who has raised children, I will say right now, being at home for a day with my children is harder work than any work I've ever done in the world. I'm not saying guys don't do some incredible, massive, huge, difficult jobs out there that I would never do.
Yeah.
I've never done a lot of things that guys have done out in the world, but yet I have actually had a career and had work and all of those things. And it's easier sometimes doing that than it is to raise a family.
Nice.
And so we've got these massive shifts happening, and I don't think that anyone is quite sure about the way forward. But what I know is that what we're doing right now is not working, because one, people aren't happy.
Yes.
Two, families are broken down. Three, men. I have a lot of male clients, and what I see so often is I get a lot of the clients that have got everything. They've got everything. You couldn't have more than these guys have. And they come to me and they're like, I feel like I've got nothing. I just lost my wife. I lost my family. I never had a wife. I never had a family. I've never been in love. I've been in love, but I never had time for that because I was doing 16-hour days. And I'm like, okay, so men are going out into the world to work for all of this stuff on these massive levels. And I mean, you know, it's huge work out there sometimes. And I have got incredible empathy for some of my clients, because it may be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and then they're like, I've got this all, and it means nothing to me. It means nothing.
Mm.
And the loneliness and the all of that stuff sort of comes in. And I feel like it used to be a balance, like the guy would go out and work for, you know, 8 hours a day or maybe longer days, but he had time to come home and enjoy that life and he could work his way towards something.
Yes.
Now we have men who are away for weeks at a time. And I think it started personally, you know, with things like wars and really long posts away working. And it took the men out of the equation.
Yes.
And they were away for so long working or at war that what happened was women learned to cope without men.
Adapt, yep.
Yeah.
I think it also goes back, what you're saying about ingrained into men, it goes back a little bit before that too, to the primalistic stages where when birds compete, whoever has the best nest, the female will come in.
The guys are dancing,
the guys are doing the chicken dance. So yeah. it is in us to survive all the fittest. And
it's
a fact that guys with massive forearms, women are more attracted to that because it's innately in them because they can
feel safer. Them.
That's right, strength and that. Yeah. So we're not saying, I don't think we're saying give away that. I'm saying
No. You want to be your best.
Yeah, it's got to be merged in, and there is always going to be a survival of the fittest, even though all the people that should have died are still here and they're driving on roads around Sydney. That's the issue too, you know. So we have all these people breeding at the moment, and this is like serious. We have a lot of people who are very uneducated,
breeding,
who are breeding, having a lot of kids who are growing up without role models and mentors.
And I'm not going to say they shouldn't be.
But it's an issue of education. And so that's
exactly.
And then we have the reality TV shows, which are so stupid, making stupidity normalized. So people think that's okay to act that way. That's okay to dress that way and be so reactive. So we're doing the opposite of what we need to be doing. This is part of the agenda, what you're saying too. The agenda has been there for a long time to lower the intelligence of the human race.
So absolutely.
That means we have a race of subservient people who are much more easily to control. They can feed us what they want. We go along with it. We don't question it. We just go along doing our thing. So sorry to cut you off there.
And, no. Always do.
Yeah. So yeah, you were just saying then, sorry, and I cut you about can you go?
Well, basically, I think it's a lot to do with the fact that men were removed from family situations.
Yes, war.
You know, they were taken out on a mass level in all sorts of scenarios. And I meet a lot of men and they're like, oh, I hate this feminist movement. I hate this. I hate that. And it's like, as a woman, obviously, I'm a feminist. I'm not like a feminist who believes in taking men down, though. I'm a feminist and I'm a masculinist. Like, I believe in both. They're both important. They're the yin and the yang. But the whole feminist sort of movement, what it did, it created a backflip on itself. It was like, okay, ladies, you can do everything at home and you can do everything in the work world. And it's like, hang on, this isn't balance. This is not equality. This is not fair. This is not fun. And then we have all these men sitting back saying, we're emasculated. Like, women are like trying to take over the world. And it's like, why aren't you stepping into it and stepping into the family, stepping into the homes and doing what you do the same way a lot of women are? I'm not saying all women, like there's a massive diversity out there. I'm speaking more for myself and probably women I know. But overall, I think females had to adapt and survive, and they did that. They did that well. I don't think men have been pushed to that point where they've had no choice. Women were like, we have to do this.
Yes.
Not we want to do this. I don't feel like they want to do this. I mean, if you talk to a single parent, if you talk to a mother who has had her sons or husband taken away in a war, if you talk to these women, not often are they like, you know what, I wanted to be the man of the family. That was what I wanted to do. They had to be. And most of them will do this and then they're like, you know what, this is not actually really fun. And this is talking gender roles that are traditional. Like I said, there's a massive variance out there now. It's not like there is just men and women who are heterosexual. Like, we've moved into a realm that it's always been there, but we've moved into an open realm of everything. Everything's okay out there now. You know, you can really sexually and loving wise function how you like. And yet, pardon me, at the same time, I'm not seeing a lot of mass happiness. for all of the freedom we have right now, I'm not seeing a lot of people out there saying, you know what, this is really working for me. I'm really enjoying life as it is right now. I'm really enjoying the freedom. I'm really enjoying my 800 Tinder dates.
Mm.
I'm not saying that. We have all of this choice, and yet there's not much quality.
And with the 800 Tinder dates, like I said this once before, I was sitting next to a girlfriend of mine at Bondi, this hangout of a crew out there, and she just got Tinder on her phone like a few days beforehand, and we're just talking, and her phone was going, like the whole time. I was like, far out, what is that? Because I rock around with a Nokia, as you know. So I don't have Tinder, I don't have these things. And she's like, oh, it's Tinder. I'm like, far out. I go, what's all the commotion? She's like, oh, all these people are like, I don't know if they're matches or how it works, but she got her phone and she's like, zzz, through, like, there's 300-400 guys there, all messaging her. And it's like, so how is it any guy going to have a chance with someone who's got 400 other options?
This is the thing, he's not. So he's just going to swipe whichever way it is, left or right, I'm not sure. He's going to swipe yes, 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 and hope that she's going to be like, oh, I like him.
Right.
So it's really just this horrible game of, like, it's a horrible game, basically.
It's all based on looks then, and I guess your photos, and, yeah, maybe it's all external. It's 100% external. And then, you know, for a fact, because I've never been on Tinder dates before, when I approach women, because if I'm interested, I'll walk up and I'll just talk straight to them. They're like, wow, I didn't expect that. I'm like, why? And like, oh, guys just don't do that anymore.
They don't do this. And this is
weird. I'm like,
they don't. People have, and this is a massive point too, going back to, on top of having lost our roles, which is probably a good thing, we've lost our communities. We've lost our ability to connect and our ability to communicate. We've lost our ability to say, hey, do you want to hang out? Like, we've lost our ability to say, what are you doing later? It's like we're, like, so busy, like, on our phones. It's just like I could be talking to you and just be like, hang on a sec. Like, I'm just doing something, you know?
This connection through social media and through technology. And this is...
which can be very expansive. Like, we can expand through that, which you and I do. We have our real lives and we can expand through our social media. But what happens is people are growing up without even knowing that real human connection. They're growing up without knowing how to say, hi, how are you?
No social skills.
Yeah, and we're seeing it more and more. And the problem with choice, going back to this, so... I mean, it's always been about selection and choice, and this has always gone on things like looks and money and all of this. And I mean, I get it. Like you said, it's survival of the fittest, and that's okay. But when we're talking about things like Tinder, I mean, I spend half of my spare time counselling my friends who are on Tinder, and they're ringing me, like, crying about, like, why they've had so many Tinder dates and they're so lonely. And it's like, well, what do you want me to say? What else did you expect doing this?
Yes.
And I think what it comes back to, again, is why would we have lost our communication? Why would we have lost our connection? Why have we lost our community? Where have they gone?
This is the agenda, and this is what people don't want to go into, right? This is kind of my topic and part of the stuff that I talk about. And there's actually an agenda out there to divide up families. There's an agenda in place by the global elite. It's not hard to research now and understand that there's a deep state, there's a system in place, there's something that's been...
And if you can't see it, I mean, you really need to just open your eyes and look around.
It's that simple now. And with the internet, because we actually can do some research now, it's not totally censored. It's very easy to come to the conclusion, right, there is a big plan at place, and it's about promoting Black Lives Matters. It's about promoting...
Step back on that.
Yep.
Black lives do matter. All lives matter. But it
That's
comes
right.
back, and just to clarify what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. It's about funding.
It's about all lives matter. It's
exactly
not about you're
right.
black and I'm white, or you're a guy and I'm a girl, or she's, like, rich and he's poor. It's about... we are all human beings with, like, a very similar beating heart.
Exactly. And this agenda is about promoting division. So it's getting whites fighting blacks. It's about Trump versus Hillary. It's all the division. It's the duality. It's the duos. This is all facets of Juul. And that's what religion does. That's what race, color, creed does. Okay. And if we can separate enough people to think that they're alone, then this whole world is not going to unify. Because if we unify, we all just go, we're not going to war. You can stick your fucking wall up your ass. We are not going to war. You politicians can go to war. And the 99.999%, we're going to stay here. We're going to connect and be friends with people. We're going to connect of all different races, all different religions. And that's the last thing this system wants. Unity, consciousness, people working an unconditional love, and people talking, connecting. Because then the news falls apart. The whole mainstream news narrative falls apart because it's like, hang on, I know people over there. That's us. That's not what's going
They're
on.
They're really great human beings.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're
right.
Fantastic. So and I know these Muslims you speak of, and they're wonderful human beings. I know these women you speak of, and they're amazing human beings. I know all of these people, and you know what? They're all amazing. Or not all, but the majority are great human beings. And we have been divided. We have been kept separate. And it's like my old thing that I keep referring back to. It's like, this is how the West was won.
Yes.
There's the West, and then there's this side, and there's that side. And the West sits here, and it's like, it just pits all of these people to go to war. Men versus women, black versus white. And what's happening is they're all out there killing each other and hating on each other. And the West just sits there, and it's like,
yeah, and we're actually going beyond countries now. We're talking about maybe 20,000 people worldwide, a corporate elite who come from a basically Nazi Zionist background who have controlled all facets of life. And this is the agenda. If you pull love away and you pull families away from each other, what have you got left?
Everything falls apart.
If you don't have love, and there is a distinct loneliness going on, and I've got a big group of friends and family and people around me, and I'm feeling the loneliness. I'm feeling this deep sadness.
It's an existential loneliness that's been brought in on the most gut level. And it's like, no matter what you have, it's not going to be enough.
Nope. And
You're not enough.
A lot of my friends and people I'm meeting, because like I've got a very diverse group of friends, people who have a lot of cash, no cash, my old bikey mates, the guys I used to party with, my Muslim mates, my Christian mates, whatever. They're all saying the same thing, that one, they're sick of Sydney. They're feeling like they need more in their life.
This is everywhere. This is across the board, and you know that.
And then they need nature, because nature does bring in a little bit of that nurturing, loving. You know, it's not the same as a physical human being in love, but when you're in nature, you can get by. You know, you can get by much easily.
Nature?
Yeah, exactly. So we're finding it harder and harder to get into nature, and. And they're basically like, I know people who are so cashed up, and they're like, man, like I fucking envy you, you know, because people.
I hate my life.
Like I've been living in a tour bus for the last like 3 years. I moved out of my house at Bondi, and I've got a farm sitting somewhere that doesn't get used. But basically, I've been living in a bus for like the last 3 years, humbling myself, because when you don't have all these material things, you come down to earth. You can connect with people on a better level. When you start adding all the material stuff, I know when I go jump in my mates' cars, their AMGs and all their you know, $200,000 cars, you feel this thing go on just by driving.
It's all good. It's not like the worst thing ever, but it's fine.
The change. It's the change of the way people view you. It becomes so obvious. And when I used to have Harleys and race boats.
Suddenly you're an amazing human being.
Yeah, I didn't notice it before because I'd never been too concerned about it. But now that I've been away from it, and now I jump back into my friends' cars or whatever and we go cruising, I'm like, look at the people the way they're looking. There's a distinct separation. Now you're somebody because you're in a Range Rover. Now you're somebody because you're in a whatever it is. And it's like, wow, it's getting harder and harder to connect with people because they judged you before they've even seen you. To even see if you've got a heart. It's like you've already like, no, cancel, no, that car, this, that. Oh,
you know what it is? It's that defaulting back to the safety and security and people thinking that, you know, oh, you can afford this car, which the funniest thing with a lot of this is a lot of people I know who are living fairly simple lives actually, a lot of them have a fair bit of wealth behind them. Mm. And a lot of people I know who are living these massive lives who, you know, they've got everything on the outside. They're so in debt and so stressed. I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them. Mm. And it's, you know, they're sort of their mindset and their stress levels are like way so high, you know. And it comes down to ego, and I think that's the battle we all know we're dealing with right now. It's the mind, the ego, and the heart. The heart's really simple. The heart is so simple. The heart is like, I look at you, I know who you are, and that's all good. The mind wants to analyze and work things out based on these terms that we've been taught. The ego, it just sees what it likes, and it's like, I want that car, I want that girl, I want that bag, I want these things, I want. It's totally different. The heart has a different sort of sense, and as we're stepping into the heart, we're stepping into the feminine, and this is where so many people are like just crashing and burning right now, because when you cling so strongly to the ego, you can't actually see how it affects your world. And it's not usually until something major happens that you decide to step out of that. And I see it in, like, you know, addictions, like major addictions, to the point that people are spending so much money on escaping their reality that it becomes unbearable, like thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on escaping their reality. And they're like, wow, this is not working for me anymore. And these are the points that people are like, well, what else is usually out there? I might start meditating. I might start doing some yoga. I might start doing some this. And then suddenly they're like, wow, I feel like a real human being for the first time in my life. I feel like I'm allowed to be who I am. Yeah. And that's that whole stepping back into the heart, which is, it seems so simple, but it's actually quite difficult. And I guess what I look at when I look at the masculine world that we're living in right now, from the outer, it seems like it works, but what I'm seeing is it's not working. The feminine seems like maybe it doesn't work. The feminine seems weaker. Would you agree?
It's the issue with the feminine in, and guys getting into their feminine, they don't understand what that means. So what I'm seeing across spiritual, in brackets, which is not a good word, I'm seeing people who are becoming consciously aware of themselves, who are men. They are going from being warrior males, and then overnight they're turning into fairies who are wearing bracelets. They're wearing bracelets, rings, all these
nothing
things.
Again, we're not like hacking on. We need to be aware of what we're saying here. We're not hacking on people who wear bracelets and rings. Like, these are all good things. But
yes,
I hear what you're saying.
But it's like it's gone too far because we don't know where to draw the line. It's like it's not about being a female and being a
fairy. Just the same way as it's not about women being men.
That's right. It's about just being able to hold space for a woman. It's about to connect on level and then respect a sister rather than actually like,
be one.
Like someone you can go out with or you can have sex with. It's like, change your mind frame. It's a female. It's your sister. It's your partner. It's your person. They're all the same. And offering that space and being there and being a support role rather than having an agenda behind it, rather than being...
recognition and respect.
Yeah, using your power, your respect and your whatever it is to get something from life. Because there's always an exchange. There's always like... I'm with this person because I bring them happiness and this person's with me because I bring them what's the exchange there. And once we get over the exchange and it's back to just unconditional love and it's like it is what it is, I think that starts breaking away the layers of the feminine being less powerful. I actually think that the female aspect is more powerful because the female aspect is when there's an argument, when there's something massive going down, coming in a place of love, which men don't know how to do. Men are usually like, F that, boom, 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 let's go crazy. Where the woman who are in power will come in and go, hey, how about we do it this way in a stern but loving way? And that's the crossover. That's not being reactive. That's going in a place of love, going in from the heart, and then changing a scenario upside down, flipping it upside down because it's done with love. And doing things with love is very different to doing things with forcefulness and pushing things across the line. And it's not saying don't be motivated, no, don't do it that way, but it's just a way of coming at it, right?
I would go so far as to say that women can be very submissive and very giving and very receiving because they are already powerful.
Yes.
We can give life. We can give a life. We can create a life. Life creates life. Every single person on this universe came from a female's body. Every single one. And I would go as far to say that women are able to be softer and sweeter and kinder and nicer and more loving, because we know we're powerful. We know that. We don't have a point to prove. We don't have to be like, I'm going to go and punch that guy to prove that we're powerful. It's like, we can create a human life. Mm, you know? Exactly.
That's incredible. It's in its sense, in itself, you know, I wouldn't be able to bear a child. That's for sure. I have so much.
I'm just saying, and you know, I see all of these guys like in these, you know, we both see a lot of these spiritual guys and non-spiritual guys and all of this stuff going on. And, you know, I see sometimes they're like, oh, what are women trying to do? Like take over the world, being so powerful. And it's like, hang on, it's like, no, I don't think it's that. I think we're just trying to bring a bit of the love back. I can't speak for all women, but I know for me it's just that really the gentle, nurturing, loving, that really soft and sweet side. Like we're good at this. This is our calling. It's, I mean, I know some guys who are all of those things, but overall, it's not really a guy's calling a lot of the time.
Yes.
If they want to step into that and step more into their feminine, that's wonderful. If women want to step in and be boss girls and boss ladies, that's wonderful. But for the most part, bringing the feminine back in is about, it's about replacing what we've lost, and it's about replacing the things that will actually see our world survive. It's not like a, oh, you know, it's all like, it's not like this touchy-feely, like, sensitive new age thing. It's like, our world is fucking dying right now. Our world's fucking dying. Look around, we're at war. We are just, there are so many things going on right now, like, that I wake up and I'm like, what the actual fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And you know? Would we be in this situation if we had women making the decisions? I don't think so.
No. And I mean, if I look at the waste of resources, like I know a lot of men who are in like highly paid worlds, and I look at the way they waste their resources and their money because of ego. Ego. And they're just chucking money away. Like they just, the stuff that they spend, I'm like, wow, like it never fails to amaze and stun me. And it's this ego thing because they want to win the competition. They want to be do you know the ironic thing for me here is, they want to do this because of ego, but often they want to do it to please women.
That's right. And well, basically, in the end, people get out of bed because of women. You know, women are the reason why we get out of bed.
What I'm saying. So they're doing all of these things. They're like, I want to own like 8 buildings so I can have the best women. And it's like, hang on. It's like, why don't you do something like more universal? Like, I've never got it. I've never understood it. It's never made any sense to me. This world has not really.
It's a guy thing. And you're saying like with merging the divine feminine masculine, if we can get partners and people coming together in their power, behind every good man there's a good woman. I know when I've been in relationships with good women, man, it shifted me in leaps and bounds so far forward. You know, like when you have a solid woman in your life, where you're at physically, emotionally, and what's going on in the spiritual body, you're on another level. You know? And like, I went to India a while back, and I went there, and there's a real suppression of any affection. I didn't feel any love anywhere.
No.
The guys hold hands, which is nice because there's probably no holding hands going with females. And I'm like, wow, man, there's so many countries like this where there's no expression. Like, at least in Australia and Western countries, we're allowed to do it.
Women are a little bit allowed to be women here. I'm really grateful for that I'm born here, not in, like, the middle of some of the other countries that we've spoken about today.
Yeah. But we need to do more of it. Like, people need to be comfortable with public affection. People need to be comfortable with breastfeeding in public. People need to get over being embarrassed and not showing public affection to their partners. I see it all the time. They walk separate and they're next to each other, but they're not with each other. Energetically, they're not with each other. They go out with each other because they both do CrossFit together. They like the same things, and they're a match on the external, but the love isn't there. The love isn't there. And when it comes to the love, it might take 12 schooners at the pub before they can start opening up.
100%. And I think you nailed it really well there, because I think it comes back down to inhibitions.
Yes.
But also that lies deeply in sexual shame and guilt.
There's a lot of that.
We've inherited so much of this from the church, and it's like, we're not allowed to feel good.
No,
No. We're not allowed to feel good anymore. We must feel bad about feeling good. And so this is one of the core things that runs many people right now. It's this deep sexual shame and guilt and feeling bad. Like, we're taught to feel bad. If we want to do anything that makes us feel nice or good, it's like, well, you need to feel bad about that too. And then we turn on ourselves basically and get into these self-destructive patterns.
Yes, yes.
And that's why you're saying that on a first date or something, it's like, how much wine can we drink?
Or what should happen? Is this okay? What needs? Is it three dates before this happens? Is that
like the rules?
There's this weird scenario that does pan out, and it's on people's minds. And I feel the way people use substance. This is going into not addiction to substance, but it's lack of connection, because we use substance to then open up a realm or a window so we can connect to someone on a deeper level. And I know, just for me personally, not to do with women, but my friends, my favorite time in the morning would be 4 o'clock, 4:50 in the morning at this pub. The sun will be blazing in the window. Okay, everyone's had enough alcohol and whatever else that we can spit beer on each other.
You can finally speak your heart.
Truth. Tell them, my mates will tell me that they love me. And like, I could say it anyway, but it's like, this is a time where they can shine and we can all shine together. And it takes 25 schooners, 4 yes. o'clock in the morning, half
massive
a bag of
bar
whatever.
Tab and whatever else.
And that's what it was about. The whole time it was clubbing, I realized I was searching for connection. I wasn't searching for addictions. I wasn't even interested in drugs or alcohol. I just wanted to be able to connect to my friends and yes. have an opportunity of meeting a girl and talking openly. And that's the thing. The Western world has to have this because they can't do it without. They don't applaud when someone's playing live music. They sit there and be awkward with their backs turned.
They can't dance.
And then they have 12 schooners and they clap. And it's like, what, the last 10 songs, they weren't amazing, and this beautiful woman's singing her heart out. And I get really offended by that. And I clap and I get up. I'm like, oh, what, you can't hear?
People can't get up and dance, you know. Like, it's sort of like I've always been blessed in the sense, like, if I want to have a little dance around at home, I can do that at 7 a.m. in the morning. I go out and I watch all of these people doing those moves, you know, those horrible moves. And you're just like, and it's not judging, but it tells me how
it's so funny, but we can't dance then.
I'm not judging. It tells me how shut down our society. It tells me how shut down our society is. Like, we're not having fun. We're not enjoying it. You know, we can't even go and talk to someone. You know, yeah. Sometimes you'll go out with friends and they're like, should I go talk to that person? Should I this? The nerves and the anxiety. Our world is living in this massive anxiety pit right now. It's like they're so anxious to speak to each other. Like, social anxiety at an all-time high. People are just anxious about everything. They're anxious about, like, what they're eating, who they're talking to, what they're doing, how they look. And it's like, it doesn't really matter which way you go. If you look around and look at the anxiety stats, you can say that it's pretty fucking obvious that yes. we're living in fear. We're not living in love. We're living in fear.
And you know what, with the social anxiety you're saying? When I went to Brazil like years ago, like I came from Australia, who's obviously you walk down the roads and people don't even look you in the eyes. They just look to the footpath. What I do when I walk down a road near my house, when I walk my dog sometimes, the road's like a couple hundred meters long. Someone will be walking, looking up my direction. I just stare directly at them, kind of walking, smiling. And I don't look away. I just keep looking. And what they do, they look up there and pretend they're looking at the birds, and they look at their watch, then they look over here, and they look down.
Eye contact.
They do 15 different deflections before they get close. Then I go, hi, and they're like, oh, hi. But they're meeting up.
Speaking to me.
Yes. And so I went to Brazil after like being here in Australia. And in Brazil, everyone's comfortable in their bodies. They dance all the time. They
exactly.
sing. They're sexual. They're loving. They touch you. They come. They hug. They kiss. They're like, well, who are you? Exactly. They talk close to your face. And that blew me away because I love
intimacy.
That culture. Yeah, I really love that culture of like, and I love like the old WOG families, how they hug and they grab and they kiss. And they're like, you know, they're very touchy-feely, which we don't have here in the Australian culture.
I was very blessed to grow up around a lot of those European families, and having a family that came from quite a few places, that's probably, Danish background, very open and very sort of, you know, it was a different sort of thing. And I found Australians quite shocking, to be honest. I found the level of connection quite strange. Like,
yeah, it's almost like not even family. It's like not even human. It's like someone, it's like... Yeah, I've never got that. And like my family have been that way too. My parents are not affectionate, but they show their love another way by they'll, you know, there's four different love languages, and
but
we have to work on those love languages too. When I started hugging my parents, this guy told me, he goes, you need to hug your parents, you need to crack them open. Like, I started, it was really awkward for me and my mum to hug, but then when I hug my dad, he always hold on for longer, and I'm thinking, how starved is my dad for love? How starved is my mum for love?
God, I love your dad. Your dad's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that Brazil trip for me was like, so we met girls and we're just walking around going to the beach, and you just kiss because it's, you like hanging out with girls, and it's like, it's not this sleazy thing going on.
It's not bad. You're not a bad human being for wanting intimacy or affection. That's different. That's that open culture.
And it was the most intimate I've had in a relationship. Even on girls that I was dating, it was like I'd been with this person for 10 years and we'd just walk around, they'd put their arm around you, they're sitting there, they'd rub on your back and hug. I was like, warmth. Oh my God.
It's so that lovely. Basic warmth and understanding that we have a need for human touch. And
yes.
And this is the thing that I think we've lost all of this. We've lost it with we've lost it at one-to-one as, you know, in relationships. We've lost it with our friends. Like, I'm a hugger. You're a hugger. You know, I've always been a hugger, but we're blessed that we have that. But I see so many times that, you know, sometimes you'll go to hug someone and people just go like,
that's awkward, or it's really awkward.
What I mean. They go still.
They lean in.
Yeah, they hug it. It's like, they're there.
And it's like, well, that's very, very awkward. And it's like, what's wrong? You can't even hug someone like body to body. Hug and heart to heart, like, so.
And we've lost it with children. That's another thing that I found. Hospitals and all the rest, they're like, let that child cry it out. Let them cry it out for 6 hours. Let them cry for as long as they need to. And it's like, it's a little baby. It's crying. It's hungry and it wants a hug. And we've been taught these horrible ways of, like, let that child cry. And then we wonder why adults are ending up so, like, unable to have, like, a cuddle. It's like, well, probably no one ever hugged that person when they needed it the most.
Yeah.
No one probably ever went there. No one probably ever picked them up and said, hey, here's a hug.
Mm.
Here's basic human touch and basic human love and affection. Just cry it out. And as a society, I feel like that's where we've sadly moved to in a lot of realms. Like, I mean, you look at the corporate world. That is like the epitome of, like, let's cry it out.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how you can do a 20-hour day. You can do, you know, the toughest things. And it's like, don't even speak about it. Like, don't be a crybaby. Like, be tougher. And we've got this whole, like, society that wants to be really tough. And you know what? We're not tough. We're actually really not that tough. We're all very human. We all have these beautiful beating hearts. We all have this amazing, like, human quality that we want to be near each other, and we want to actually express our feelings, and we want to be heard, and we want to be hugged, and we want to say, hey, how's your day today? And you know what, that's really okay. And you know, that to me is the feminine.
Yes,
that to me is the feminine.
Yeah,
it's being okay with that. And
you said,
and I feel like a simple shift back there is so much so what we need right now.
With the corporate people holding it in, Kira, is that they're the ones who explode and go on the drugs and go on the big benders because they haven't had any route of expression.
Absolutely.
I do sound journeys and run meditation classes. I haven't been doing it much lately, but I'm going to start again. Mm-hmm. But I have corporate people come in who have never been around it, and I'll play the Native American Indian drum, the flute, I'll sing, and I'll talk intentions and speak about love. And when I'm playing or meditation's on, I watch these corporate people and they've got tears in their eyes. They're tearing up. You know, it's emotional experience because they haven't even heard words or talk like that before, let alone a class full of people opening and talking about love and talking about what's coming for them. So I feel that's a really good way to crack people open. And a solution for this is for people out there who are in relationships with partners, who the relationship is a bit funny, especially on a physical level. One of my girls that I was going out with, this beautiful woman, we were at a place called Nimbin, and there's like a water hole there where you can swim naked. Mm-hmm. And swimming naked and being naked breaks away our clothes are off now, so this is when we have sex or we do something sexual. Mm-hmm. And I found that being naked around a whole bunch of random people, it blew that apart. It also made me realize that the normal body is actually the weird, long, tall, fat, skinny body, the hairy body. That is the normal body. The billboard body, get rid of it. It doesn't exist. It's unachievable. And so spending days with these people, we're just drinking ciders, hanging out, talking to all different walks of life. For me, that was a thing that seriously supercharged my growth in being comfortable in my own skin, but also being comfortable around girls being naked and not being like, okay, it's naked, or some shit's going to happen now, and throwing that in a bin. And then you treat your partners, your sisters, all people like your friends. And you see that love, it breaks away the, oh, I haven't seen that before, so what's going on underneath the clothes? It's gone. And so I really like for people to say to them, like, get naked. Get used to being naked. Watch how much it helps.
On the subject of getting naked, I think that's a massive part of the feminine too, which is, you know, I always default back to the strong and soft. And my favorite topic is vulnerability. Vulnerability is like my favorite thing in the world. That's like being open. It's sharing our truths. That's telling our stories. That's saying what's on our mind without being scared of what other people think. And or just being okay, like other people think what they think. And, you know, it's vulnerability is being able to share who we are and hopefully not getting too much judgment. And being naked is pretty much the same as being vulnerable. Being naked is being physically naked. Being vulnerable is being emotionally, spiritually, heart-wise naked.
Open.
Open. And that is the thing that so many people struggle with, you know. I'm quite blessed, I guess, in a way that I'll go places and people will just open up and pour their heart story out to me, you know. It can be like, you know, I'm sort of doing my groceries and the lady just breaks down and tells me a story, or people just, you know, want to share all of this stuff and they're like, I've never told anyone that. You know how it is.
No, I know what you're like. I know what people are like with you, yes.
And people just tell me everything and I'm like, wow. I'm like, I was just here getting some bread for toast, or, you know, and they'll just like share everything. And then they look at me and they're like, I don't know why I said that. I don't know where that came from. And it's like, it came from your heart. It came from your heart and it came from your soul. And it came from a part of you that's sick of lying. It's sick of living an ego and it's sick of telling bullshit to everyone you meet. It's sick of saying, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Good.
I'm everything's great. Nice. They wanted to say, hey, I'm a bit heartbroken right now.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they sense they had a bit of a space to do that. And, you know, my friends laugh about it quite often. They're like, wow, whenever we go somewhere, why are all these people spilling their little stories out? And it's like, because they want to be told. It's that they want to share. People actually want to share who they are and they want to be seen for what is actually inside of them, not these horrible egoic constructs that
yes.
we create, like,
yep.
oh, I earn like $250,000 a year and I wear this and I do that and my yeah. shoes are from this brand and I drive this car and, you know, yeah. I'm really strong and I play like a really good game of this. And we are taught to present on the constructs.
Yes.
And no one ever gets to know us. They never get in. And when we finally just like open up our heart and say, you know what, I'm having a really not very great day. I'm feeling a bit like meh. I've seen some stuff and this is it. And, you know, people are like, oh, wow, me too. Me too. I relate to that. I connect to that. I understand that because it's who we are and it's from our heart. And I think that to me is one of the beautiful things about stepping back into a little bit more of the feminine, is that we're allowed to be ourselves and we don't have to pretend to be someone that we're not really. And that to me is one of the greatest gifts of what's going on right now. It's the vulnerability and the openness, and it's sort of special, it's sort of wonderful, and it's sort of new to a lot of people, and I think it will carry a lot of us forward quite far.
What this is telling me is that there's not enough places we can go to, a safe, open space.
Safe spaces.
Like that's
exactly.
So the meditation classes that I run, I feel that is the only place a lot of people actually get to go there and connect to people on a deeper level. There needs to be more men's circles.
Yes.
There needs to be more women's circles. There
yes.
needs to be people in their
more
local area
circles.
Getting together with just 10 friends, 5 friends, and getting down, putting some topics down, going, what's coming up for you around this? Can we actually talk on a deeper level and be vulnerable and allow it to be vulnerable, and then
yes.
have partners coming together and doing partner work? If we're not doing work and doing courses and working through our trauma and our belief systems, we're basically not evolving. If you're not being triggered in life, then you're not doing enough. You need to be getting triggered. And when you're getting triggered, that's when you can go, right, why am I being triggered? What's coming up here? Have I got attachment issues? Have I got abandonment issues? Have I got jealousy issues? What are all the things that trigger me in a relationship to thinking negatively about my partner, which is actually being negative about myself? It's a projection of what I'm lacking inside of me. And I'm blaming that person for the shortcomings when I'm not perfect and they're not perfect. We're just working through this together. And I find that people flick people off. I hear mates, they talk to me about certain scenarios and I'm like, mate, she just does that because she loves you, you know that? And they'll be like, and they'll think about it. I'm like, it's not being needy. I go, you haven't been around.
She cares about you.
And she wants to be with you. I go, shit. I go, that's terrible. But they haven't thought about that way. One of these stupid mates at the pub's being like, oh, she's so needy. Is she one of those needy chicks?
She's so needy. She wanted to call me yesterday.
She wanted to see if I'm all right. And like, I've been like this. I've been like that. I've truck driving, you know, truck driving tore relationships apart, doing 16, 20-hour days. Of course they want to see you. You've been at work the whole time. So it's like...
Exactly. What else is there? Like, of course they want to see you. And this is the thing, isn't it?
Yep.
We've been taught to survive without each other.
Yep. And when you're tired and run down, stressed, trying to be loving when you're falling asleep at the dinner table, it's very difficult. It's
you're going to get snappy. Difficult.
Yep, snappy. And you have no desire to make love because you're so tired. You can't even think about that. You just want to get through to the next day. So this whole talk that we're talking about encompasses our jobs, our time management, our children, being accountable for ourselves, looking for solutions. What can we do to fix things now rather than getting rid of a girlfriend and having another Tinder date, scrolling through the 500 options.
Going through the motions again.
Maybe get rid of Tinder and maybe go out there and meet some real people. Go to an organic food shop or go wherever you hang out with those people and then push yourself into an uncomfortable situation to see how that feels. Go out there and get uncomfortable. Go up and talk to a girl in front of five other girls and ask for a phone number and do that. Be a legend.
I'll watch them all giggle and be like, how cute was that?
Yes. Even if it was awkward.
Oh my God, that guy asked you out.
Yes. So you don't know where it's going to stem from. And Kira, I'd like you to, what are some solutions that you feel, what are some things that are coming up for you that men can embody, women can look into, and what can we do to start changing this? Because this talk is obviously about solutions, about us giving ideas and what men can take out of this and what women can take home and we can start implementing at home.
Look, I think the first thing is that communication. And it's not like, you know, it's a really simple thing. It's hard. You know, I realize lately, and you would know because I've spoken to you about this, I realize lately I can be pretty shit at it too, you know. I'm pretty all right at it. And I'm like, if I can be pretty bad at it, then God, I can imagine that people are struggling out there.
Well,
it's hard
yes.
sometimes to say what's on our mind. It's hard sometimes to speak our truth and say, okay, well, this is what's going on for me. You know what's hard? It's hard to say, I like you and maybe I want to hang out. It's hard to not play games and say, oh, you know what? I'm busy on Friday. Instead of saying, you know what? I sort of was busy on Friday, but I actually really like you and I'm really happy to cancel my plans on Friday. And that's just more on a relationship sort of one-to-one. But for the most part, it's that reconnection. It's taking the couple of minutes to get to know people, taking the couple of minutes to start a conversation. It's taking time to say hello to our neighbours. It's taking time to introduce our friends and say, oh, hey, this is this person. They really love that. You'd probably like to get to know them. It's taking time to be a human being rather than doing all of the things that we feel so pushed to do. But he hit on a point just before that when we're feeling tired, we often don't have the energy. And one of the underlying issues here is that we're all being kept tired. We're being kept tired by a lot of red tape and a lot of other things that are making it hard for people to do these things. And I feel that overall, the main thing that we can do here is basically take the time to look other people we know in the eye and say, hey, we're a real human being too. However we do that and let others know that, you know what, we're not dead. We're not like a zombie. We're not, we haven't forgotten the world around us. Like, instead of, like I said before, standing at the coffee shop being like, actually talk to the person beside you. I'm good at this. Talk to the person beside you and you know, like have a conversation. It's not that hard. When you're out, you know, exactly that. Like, it's connecting. It's eye contact. It's eye contact.
And it's touch too.
It's introducing ourselves, and it's being real, and it takes a little bit of practice, because you know what? It's not very easy anymore. It's not easy, because if you walk up to a table and every single person is on their phone texting and you want to say hi and everyone looks at you like, you're sort of probably going to just go away and get texting on your phone too.
Highly.
And it's like that little zombies meme that went around a while back, and it's like we have sort of gotten to that zombie point. Like, a lot of us, we've gotten to that point, we've forgotten. You walk into a city, you walk into most places now, and people aren't there. And so it's finding ways. I like to do it at like my coffee shop, or, you know, when I go shopping, I like to do things that are a little bit loud or a little bit like annoying or a little bit like, you know, or just like, just things that will say, hey, there are human beings in this room. Or I like to laugh really loudly. Like, if someone does something silly in line, I'll just start laughing and I'll just open up a conversation. And
yes,
if someone looks sad, if like my cashier at like Coles, like, or wherever, like, is looking sad, I'll say, how are you? And I'll say, you look a bit sad today. Are you okay? And yeah, I can see the other people in line looking at me like,
Checking in.
Like, what's that?
You're checking in.
They look at me like, why are you doing this? Like, we're just in a hurry to get out of here. And so often the person will just open up and say to me, actually, someone just died. And they're standing there working, doing their thing all day. Or I'll make a joke like about, like, you know, the customer that came like before me, and I'll just be like, wow, you know, that person wasn't very nice, were they?
Yeah.
Or that person was a bit cranky today. And it's just like being a human being, like really simple things. And it's amazing how often people respond. I mean, I'll have people come out and like give me hugs in the strangest places, and people are like, what are you doing here? And it's like, I'm being a human being. I'm sorry we all forgot that, but
everyone's too busy being a human doing, right?
Yeah, it's sort of important that we re-embrace that now.
Yeah, it is literally the simple things, right? It's the reconnection. It's the putting your hand on the shoulder when you're talking to someone.
Yes.
Or coming up to them. And I have this big white fluffy Samoyed, as you know.
Yes.
And I have to leave them home at times because I forget what it's like to go out without 1,000 people coming up and talking to you.
Yes.
And it's interesting. It's totally fine to come up and talk to someone when you have a dog and they have a dog.
The dogs and the children do it. If you're an adult. No, yep. You can't do that. Because you know why? Someone might think that you want to have sex with them.
Ooh,
I think this is the core thing. Someone might think that you're weird. Someone might think, people are so worried about what people think. And as a female, I've probably caught this more, because there are some people out there who think like that. Like, there really are. It's a fine line to walk.
There's always a couple of fools.
Yeah, there really is. It's a fine line. And some people are like, are you being too nice? And it's like, well, you know what? There's going to be that douchebag or two along the way, and that's okay.
Too.
I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah, that's up for you. And the thing is, an empowered female, guys can come up and you discern who the sleazy ones are, and then you draw that line and you shut it down in a loving way, and they're like, and then they actually like you more because you're honest and you're like, I know what you're doing, so it's all good. Got a boyfriend. Thank you for coming up. Thanks for coming up and talking to me, but, you know, not interested. And then they actually respect that even more because you're just like,
for the most part,
rather than lying to them and pretending about like, oh yeah, yeah, no, just speaking your truth, being a human being.
I was just being a human being. I apologize. I was just being a human being today.
Speaking my truth.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Kira.
That's okay, darling man. I will talk to you soon, no doubt. And thank you so much for the opportunity to have a good chat today.
Yeah, well, like, I'm just going to say to the people who are listening on YouTube and podcast, if you can share these videos, especially to people who you think would benefit from, like, the videos about the divine feminine, because this is going to be probably at least a 5-part series. And we want to really get to the core of what's going on. We want to identify like things that we're talking about today in a way that's
I've got some subjects. If anyone's got some subjects, like, please do. We could talk for weeks, but
Write them in the YouTube comments. But we do read the feedback. So go onto the YouTube and post your comments and tell us what you think we should talk about and things that are coming up for you so we can bring it up. And this is what it's about. It's about talking openly. It's about getting these things out in the air and then being accountable for them. So taking small steps, like Kira said today, which was like talking to people, the connection, being part of the world, being part of the conversation. Go out there when you leave your house and go talk to people. Everyone is wanting to connect in some way, shape or form. It doesn't matter if it's an 80-year-old grandmother or a 14-year-old little kid. Like, they want to be seen and be spoken to. And the more we can do that, the less weirder it becomes. And it's
It shouldn't be weird. No. It's so weird that it's gotten weird. I find that weird. That is weird to me.
And Kira, can you tell people your website and all the rest so they can connect with you and you can work with some people too?
Yeah, I do Intuit Holistic Healing, but I'm not really, you know me, I'm not a big publicity girl. More so, I would like you guys to come back to the podcast. I'd like to do a bit of this. I'm doing the chats, really, because I feel like on a bigger level, there's lots of work to be done, and there's so many people out there just feeling really, just really wanting to come back to home right now and come back to heart, to step either back into the heart or for the first time into the heart, and that's more so what I'm happy doing here.
Amazing. Thank you so much for what you do in the world each and every day, Kira.
You too.
A big thank you to all the people out there who listen regularly and post and share and comment and all that, because that keeps us going, you know. It makes us know you're there. And I'd like to see this podcast channel like grow and have amazing people on. So if you have anyone who you feel would be worthwhile interviewing, let us know, send us a message, and we will speak to you shortly, guys. Thank you very much. Bye now.
Bye.